You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Don't just watch the Draft Dog Pound. Join me in a Play the Draft contest with the Cleveland Browns. Play the Draft is a free, easy-to-play fantasy game for the NFL Draft. Find undervalued prospects for your chance to win prizes, including being an in-studio guest right here on Cleveland Browns Daily. Sign up now at clevelandbrowns.com. Lots of great stuff from Dame Brugler. If you missed it, you can get it on clevelandbrowns.com or on the Browns mobile app later today. He had a lot of interesting things to say about the Browns, and I thought it was interesting because I've been saying for weeks, if the Browns take a lineman in the first round, the only one I want is Cameron Irving, and he said he might very well be the best lineman in this draft.
Yeah, you know, I think that I like Irving's versatility a lot. I do wonder if you can get him, if you trade a few spots back, maybe pick up a pick.
Sure.
Doing that as well. But I think maybe the more I think about it, the more offensive line is popping up in mock drafts. Just because you look at Dane's mock draft, I mean, it seems like the whole second half of his first round is offensive lineman. I mean, there's really not that true cornerstone left tackle in this draft, but there's so much value and so much versatility at that offensive line spot where you could see maybe 5, 6, or 7 go in that bottom 15, bottom 16 of that first round. There's just not anyone that can really, other than maybe Brandon Scherff, that gets in that top 10. But that maybe just by default, those might be the best players on the Browns board at that spot.
He's got Scherff at 10 and then doesn't have another lineman going till the Browns at 19 with Collins. Then at 21, Cincinnati's got Flowers. 23, the Lions, Anders Pete. 24, Cardinals, Cameron Irving. 25, DJ Humphreys to the Carolina Panthers. And then down to 28, TJ Clemmings going to the Denver Broncos. So it is interesting. I don't want it. That's not my hope coming out of this draft, that we don't get an offensive lineman there in the first two rounds. But it won't shock me, but that's not what I want. I think that you can get guys that you need to fill those interior positions later, which is what I asked Dame. What are your thoughts on what Dane Brugler had to say about this draft for the Browns and some of the prospects? Let us know, 216-578-0850. Let's start things off with Hiram in Cleveland. What's up, Hiram?
Hey, good afternoon, guys.
You got it, man. How you doing?
Hey. I got a two-parter, but I'm going to save the second part for tomorrow. But I wanted to give you and Matt a heads up of what I'm going to talk about before I get to my point real quick.
Okay.
Matt's out
today. It's just myself
and Andrew
Dribble.
Here.
Yeah.
Sorry,
Matt will be back Thursday.
I'm sorry. What I wanted to talk to you tomorrow, I'm not so sure that the defensive staff is getting the criticism it deserved from last year. I'll just leave it with that. Nathan, you made a comment yesterday that the Browns should get immediate starters from this draft in the first two rounds. I'm not so sure that's going to be the case. Now, I agree with you about the offensive line, and I agree with you about Mitchell Schwartz. I think he and Phil Taylor are the two guys that are misunderstood the most on this Browns team. In saying that, if the Browns go pass rusher, and let's say I would take Bud Dupree at 12 myself because he won't be there at 19. If you take Bud Dupree at 12 and let's say Sheldon, I'm not the biggest Sheldon fan, but let's just say he's there at 19 and you take him.
Beautiful.
I could see Sheldon starting and moving Phil Taylor back to defensive end like they wanted to do last year. However, Bud Dupree is not going to start over. I don't see him starting over either Mingo or Paul Kruger. And then if you take, let's say hypothetically, you say you take a wide receiver in the second round. I think it's presumptuous and getting ahead of ourselves to think that wide receiver is going to necessarily beat out Hartline or Bowe to start off the season.
That's why I personally liked Funchess and moving him into that tight end, because you still have a need in the starting lineup for that pass catching tight end.
But here's the problem with Funchess though, he won't block anybody.
Neither we haven't had much blocking from our pass catching tight end.
That's
in the
true,
past.
But I'm just saying though, let's say they go Nelson Aguilar or somebody like that.
Okay.
To sit up there and say that he has to come in and start right away, I think it's getting a little bit ahead of ourselves.
It doesn't have to. Yeah.
Right. And that was my whole point. Because I Mike Pettine told you this about even before the draft. He said, look, we're going to take a quarterback early, but he's not necessarily going to start. Don't even think about it. And he doesn't strike me as somebody who's going to come in and say, okay, you're a rookie high draft pick, you're going to start right away.
Oh,
he
absolutely not.
That way.
And you got to earn it. So my point is, I think Shelton would come in and you could see how he'd slide right in and play a lot. Dupree, while he would compete with Mingo, I think that he is at this point probably a better just pure pass rusher than Mingo. So I think he doesn't necessarily have to play every down. In the NFL, it's all about packages. Does he have a package that he comes in that he's a prominent part of? Is he part of the third down package getting after the quarterback? And I think he would be, and I think he would be rather quickly. Yeah. So that's what you're looking for. The receiver, if you draft Devontae Parker, I have a hard time believing, in my mind, that Brian Hartline's going to hold off Devontae Parker for very long.
Yeah, I think the key word is there. You want to get starters. Maybe it doesn't happen right away.
Impact.
But guys who will at least maybe put a threat on current starters or eventually become a regular NFL starter no matter what. That's
right.
That's what you need to get out of the first round. You're hoping you get a guy who's at least going to start in the league for years to come.
Yeah, and I think that's what it is. I agree with you completely. It's about getting guys that are impact players, guys that when you look back on the season, you say they made a meaningful impact. Now, Nelson Agholor, I think many project him more as a slot receiver in the NFL. So he's not going to beat out Andrew Hawkins per se immediately, but he's also a good return guy. And could eventually, you know, Hawk, when you look at the contract Hawk signed, it really is kind of a two-year contract if that's the way that both sides want to go with it. So it's possible that, you know, he could be the starter in the following season but make an impact this year as a return man and also as a receiver from time to time. So I think it's about getting guys that are going to come in and contribute to the overall success of this team, not necessarily guys who are going to you walk them in and they're starting every single snap from day one. I think Shelton, you would expect Shelton to start day one. Now, that would be a great battle with Phil Taylor, but it would also be a rotation for the line. You'd have Taylor, Starks, Desmond Bryant, Shelton, Billy Wynn, John Hughes, Armani Bryant. You'd have a lot of guys that you can cycle in. Now, it is interesting, all the talk that we heard about, Andrew, of perhaps Armani Bryant being a guy that's going to stand up on some of those pass rushing situations and rush the quarterback. And if they think that's a viable option, then maybe getting that edge rusher early isn't such a need.
And maybe if you are going to take Armani Bryant away from that defensive line more often, do you maybe consider one of those 3-4 defensive ends for one of those spots? Does that become a position of need? Like I think maybe one of the guys that would fit that category might be Armstead from Oregon.
Would it be, but I still think even if you look at it that way, let's say you have a Shelton, or even if you don't have a Shelton, you've still got, you know, Starks, Bryant, Hughes, Billy Wynn. Mm-hmm. You still have four guys right there for those two spots already. So I don't know that it would be a huge need, but it certainly could be something they'll look at. I think the D-line will be addressed. And that's why Malcolm Brown's versatility is appealing, because he can play all three spots on the D-line.
This discussion, the fact that we're maybe, I wouldn't say we're kind of struggling to find spots where you need an immediate starter. I guess this kind of goes back to the point that you bring up a lot, that this roster's come quite a long way in the last year or two, whereas these last couple first-round picks, and even like last year, you draft Petonio and you're thinking right away he's got to start. Now you'd like starters, but now it's not the worst thing in the world if they don't win that job right away.
It's good. You want upgrades. I mean, I think right now you need a pass-catching tight end. I think that's a starting position that is wide open. I think that nose tackle, I know they're putting Phil Taylor there, but I think you need somebody else on that D-line to contribute right away. And I still think that other edge rusher position you need. Other than that, the rest of your starting lineup is set. Mm-hmm. You got Dansby. You know, if you look along the line, you know, you've got Starks and Desmond Bryant are set. You want somebody in the middle. You got Phil Taylor now, and of course Shelton could compete there. At linebacker, you got Kruger and Mingo are set on the outside for now, and then of course you've got Dansby, and then you've got either Craig Robertson or Chris Kirksey, and that'll be an interesting battle. See how that plays out this year. And then your secondary set with Tremont Williams, Joe Hayden. Your safeties both went to the Pro Bowl. Gibson, Whitner, Nickelback could be Kawan, but I mean if Gilbert plays well or if Dazier plays well, as Jim O'Neill talked about, they can be flexible there. They can have all those guys. Offensively, your line is set. There's not a need, an immediate hole. Your wide receivers now are Bo, Hartline, and Hawk. Solid. You can go with that. Your secondary tight ends are Dre and Barnes. You can go with that. Your running backs are West and Crow. You're good there. You need a quarterback still, but maybe that turns out to be Josh McCown or Johnny Manziel. But you're right. You don't have that immediate pressing need. Really, you need to shore up the run defense, but you're getting guys back that were injured. And, you know, I think you need another edge rusher now that Jabal Sheard's gone. So
you laying that out all out is just going to make people more and more excited for a guy like Max Williams. If he is around in the second
round. I would take him in the second round. I love Max Williams. But I'd even trade back in the first round, pick up a pick, and take him at the end of the first round. I love his tape. I watched him extensively. He's got a play like a Brown. He's got the toughness. He's nasty. He seeks blocks out. He's certainly not afraid to get in there. I think that Max Williams is exactly what this team needs, and I would love to see him ultimately end up here with the Browns.
But you can't fall into that trap of, I think Pettine has talked about this, you can't draft at that spot for need necessarily if he doesn't fall in the ranking of your best overall players on the board. That's why 19 is a real tricky spot, and one that why we've speculated maybe so much about the possibility of trading back.
Well, so Dane Brugler, for example, does not have Max Williams going in the first round. Now, that's somebody, if you're the Browns, you could trade down and you could get him. Pete Prisco from CBS also did his mock draft. He has New Orleans taking Max Williams at 31 to kind of be the heir apparent, not that he is Jimmy Graham, but to replace Jimmy Graham in that offense. So
I'm calling that the Doriel Green Beckham spot, by the way. I'm calling that one.
For New Orleans?
Yeah.
Yeah, he would be a great target for Drew Brees, no question there. All right, we're going to take a quick break, come back, finish up our first hour. We're going to kick off the second hour of this show with Tony Grossi and Joe Thomas, that sit-down interview that aired earlier on the Hey Tony program here on ESPN Cleveland. So that'll be top of hour number two. Talk draft. What do you think? Where are you looking for the Browns? What's your ideal first three picks? Position-wise, players, if you've got them. A lot of people starting to tweet me about Shane Ray. I like him a lot, too. Now, some drafts have him going 13. I don't know. He could be a guy that the Browns, if they decide they want that edge rusher because they think they can get a Shelton or a Brown at 19. Shane Ray's a guy I like a lot, very disruptive, and I think would be an immediate impact player as well. Come back with more CBD right after this. Okay, anyway.